Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Welcome to Reality and Relationships. It is a weekly show hosted by my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and myself. And we try to bring our peculiar, or whatever you want to call it, look to relationships. We try to cover relationships from various angles, not just the dating relationships, married relationships, but just the relationships that you have with people, the relationship you could have with your mailman, who knows. We just try to discuss the way people interact with each other and things that might be somewhat interesting. And so welcome to another show. If you're tuning in from your computer, if you called in on the number, the hotline number, which is 646-200-3838, we appreciate it. You guys that called in from your phone, remember, if you want to talk to the host, just press 1. Let the host know that you have something to say, and you'll get in on the show with us, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. And so, I am holding things down as my lovely expecting wife is somewhere around. She'll get to her microphone very soon, so I'm simply going to just hold it down for us. This is what a husband does, you know? And so, I can honestly tell you that I am excited about being a father again. It's just interesting. I think now that I'm a little older, a little more mature, I can really appreciate the blessing that the Lord has given us. And I'm excited. It's also made me look at the world a little bit differently. When I was younger, I just really took things serious when it came to babies and everything like that. But you know what? That hasn't changed. It's just made me a little more ferocious in terms of the things that I want to do to make sure that Tiff and the baby are okay, whether it's financially, spiritually, whatever. That's what I do. And so, if you guys didn't tune in last week, you know, we were discussing etiquette and a lot of other things. I don't know why we brought that up. The Lord, after the show, wife decides she want to have a long conversation about etiquette. But anyway, get to that later on. But I can fill in what's been going on my week. Normally I ask my wife how her week has been going, but this has been a very long week. Dealing with our children in this country and in dealing with children of color, it is very difficult trying to push them to want more. It's almost as if they're okay with being marginal. I'm sorry, I'm just not that type of educator. I don't care how tired I get of the system, no matter how frustrated I get with the system here in New York City, I refuse to allow myself to get to the point where I'm going to let kids think it's okay to be marginal. Because at the end of the day, it does nothing for them. If you bump your head, you know, you're homeless. If you think in margins, you gotta shoot for the stars. I know we hear it, but the question is, do we really show our kids? And I think parents, it's scaring me, the parents, and I know a lot of people like to say we got younger parents now. No, my mother had me when she was 17. My grandmother had my mother when she was 15. Yeah, they were getting it in, what can I say? But they showed me something, they taught me something, things that I've held on to. So when I listen to kids speak to adults in ways that's just beyond disrespectful to me, when I see kids sit in the classroom, that's not professional, got my phone on. When I see kids sitting in the classroom and not wanting more than what they can be, it makes me wonder, like, what are their parents showing? What are their parents teaching them? And then I got to remember that some of their parents coming from similar environments. So I don't judge the parents particularly in saying, okay, you're the end all the be all. Yes, you're the major problem, but there's so many other things. But now my job is to figure out a way to help you, help them, just help everybody. And it's not easy. And I can tell you that each day I get up, you know, it's not hard to get motivated. It's hard to sustain the motivation because you can come to a building and be so energetic, so ready, and then you deal with one or two negative kids, you're ready to just lose it. But then there's that good kid. There's that kid that smiles, that kid that says they appreciate you, that kid that says thank you for being hard. Like, I actually had a child tell me this week, Mr. B, I'm glad you're mean because I know that you care. And I said, well, I don't understand. What makes me mean? He said, well, you're not really mean. You just make us do things that we may not want to do, but we know you care. And I said, well, how do you know I care? And they said, well, not only do you tell us, you show us. And that reminded me why I teach. That reminded me why I go hard. And I needed that to reignite my battery. And I thanked them. And then I had another child, pretty much, I guess the Lord knew I needed to hear it that day. I think it was Tuesday. Another child came and gave me a big hug. And I'm a big dude, so I'm like the big teddy bear type. Gave me a big hug and said, I love you, Mr. Belvin. I said, really? He said, yeah, he's my favorite teacher. And I said, why? He said, well, we have fun, but we still learn. And I'm like, okay. That's what it's about. And so, you know, as much as I want to change careers, I know I'm always going to be around something that's going to enhance kids, enhance children. And hopefully I can find others who want to do some of the same things that I've been doing and rock with me, whether it's through my writing, whether it's through speaking, whatever it is. With the child on the way, you know, I don't really have a say. I really don't have a choice. It's what has to be done. I want to affect the world that my child is going to be born into. And so I'm going to keep doing what I got to do. So I'm hoping that if you're listening, you're taking the time out to consider what role you play in your child's upbringing. So whatever good or bad that they don't have, think about it. Fill that gap in. You know, if they're not reading, you should be reading to them or with them. I had one of the classes I was teaching today. I told them we're going to do 25 minutes of just quiet reading. And I said, I'm going to read with you. And the kids said, well, why are you going to read with us? Aren't you going to watch us read? I said, no, we have a trust system in here. I'm going to read and you're going to read. But if you want to waste that time, if that's how you want to cheat yourself, then you go ahead. And what I noticed is that through the reading, I glanced and looked around the room. They were reading. So I don't want to hear our kids can't do. They can. We got to show them how to do it. So, again, you're listening to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Velvet, and we're on every Thursday night on GQ Palace Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And if you have any questions or anything that you'd like to see or hear us talk about, I see, but we're not doing video yet. But if you have some subjects that you'd like to have us tackle, you can reach out to us to Black Love Radio New York. That is Black Love Radio NY at gmail.com. And you can definitely hit us up and let us know what you think. We get excited. We also have a blog that you can check out, because if you miss the shows, if you want to catch some of our past shows, you can go to www.makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. And so this way you can actually check out our past shows and things like that. So let me see. I got to check and see if my lovely wife is on. Honey?
Hi,
are
honey.
You on? Hey.
Of course.
Hey. My expecting wife. What's up, darling? How you feeling?
I'm feeling better. You know, as pregnant ladies, yeah, we have to take care of business once in a while. So I had to go, you know.
They don't need to know. You know all that. You're here now. You know, you tell all your business.
I didn't say what I was doing. I just said I had to take care of business.
There you go. So I was just holding it down, talking about the kids in school, talking about how, you know, some of the good kids reignite my battery, and how I had some of the kids reading today. And it was funny, one of the kids asked me why I was going to read with them, you know, how was I going to check on them. And I said, you know, if you want to cheat yourself, you cheat yourself. But in the reading, I looked up and I noticed that the kids were reading. And when they saw me reading, it's almost like it was reassurance to them that it's okay to read. And so at the end of the 25 minutes, which was more like 30 minutes actually, I said, okay, guys, we got to get ready to end it up. We only got about 4 or 5 minutes left to go into class. The kid said, that was 30 minutes? I said, yeah. He said, that went by so quick. I said, yeah, that's why we read. That's why you turn that TV off and do some reading. It's necessary. And so it was interesting because they're also having a book fair going on in the school. And parents, let me say this before we get back to our regular way that we do the show. When schools have book fairs, it is a fantastic opportunity for you to allow your son or daughter to purchase books on their own, but at a price that is so much less than what you would spend at Barnes & Noble and Amazon online, because they rate the books at a rate very reasonable for the children. And so I've seen kids buying 2 and 3 and 4 books and posters and all the things that kids need to get excited about reading. And you can get behind that. You can really enforce that, and it gives the kid a sense of nobility as well of achievement when they've picked out and purchased their own books. I had a couple of kids who were late to class, and they were like, Mr. B, I know I took too long, but I bought a couple. I said, hey, you got books in your hand and a receipt. Come on in here and have a seat, because you can come late to class for that. You're purchasing books, and we're in here reading. So this is what it is. So I would say to any parent listening, not only should you be making sure they read, which I know a lot of parents do, read with them, read to them. Let them read to you, and then ask them, what did they just read? As corny as that sounds, main idea is one of the things that our children struggle with on some of these current citywide and statewide exams. Understanding and being able to process what they read, where they can apply what they read. And if they're reading something they like, they should be able to tell you about it in detail. Ask for details. Don't just accept things in general. Don't accept generalizations. Ask for details. And you will see your child's IQ as well as grades increase. So let's get back to the regular show as we do things. So, my love, how was your week? Enough about me.
My week was very, very long. And that's what taking Monday off. Oh, my goodness.
Monday off. Short week for you. Look at that.
Yes, this weekend is what made it long. I tired myself out trying to get the apartment together and clear out the remaining boxes that we have. So with doing that and trying to just straighten out the apartment, I may have done a little bit too much. And then,
you ain't do enough. I'm sorry. You're saying I was speaking out loud. Don't mind me.
Okay, Jackie Gleason.
Don't get to the moon either. Go ahead. You were saying.
Anyway, I did a lot compared to the way the apartment looked like before. I mean, it's not an obstacle course anymore. We can actually walk through our living room. There's still a lot more to go, but oh my goodness, I tired myself out. I was supposed to go to an event on Saturday, and it was a fashion show that the Lady Dove founder was putting on. It was a fundraiser for.
And who was that? Who was that founder?
The founder of the Lady Dove Self-Enrichment Organization is my friend Andrine Williams.
Yeah.
And she also has a modeling troupe of Unique Blend Models, which is a plus size modeling organization. And they do events throughout New York. They actually go to Pennsylvania also to do events in Delaware. And they've appeared in different stores, Ashley Stewart, Lane Bryant, you know, just all over the place. People ask them to come because watching a plus modeling troupe is pretty entertaining. So they had a fundraiser on Saturday, and she was expecting me, and I was actually expecting to go. She said, you know, she had set up a VIP seat for me and everything, and she was waiting for me to walk through the door. And I was tired. And it's funny because KL, I told him that I have an event to go to this evening, and he said, where is it? I said, in the city. And I was just so tired. I said, you know what, I don't even know.
Offered to drive.
Yes, and I'm going to say that he offered to drive me all the way to the city, but I just was so exhausted. And then Sunday, I woke up. I was so tired. I couldn't even go to church. And then Monday came. I didn't even go to work Monday because I was just that tired. But
managing yourself better as a pregnant woman.
I do need to, and I realize that I need to get more sleep. Because a lot of times I stay up late, and I try to stay up late with KL because he stays up late. And
I don't know why.
I enjoy your company. We sit up, we watch TV, we laugh together, we talk.
Yeah, but I'm a night owl, so why stay up on my hours, which is going to affect you, and then don't want to get up in the morning and be all cranky in the morning because you sat there and played with the snooze button. Come on, man. What's up with that?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And KL, I have to say, I posted on my Facebook page, he officially put me on a curfew.
Yes.
So
she's going to bed right after the show.
I have to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So the show ends at 10 o'clock. I have to go to bed right after the show.
She'll be in bed by 10:08.
But
it is what it is. Listen, that's what it's about.
I just need to get back into the swing of things because I'm realizing I have a lot more time to go with this pregnancy. And with the weather getting colder, it's going to get harder and harder to get up. So I have to get into some type of routine. But other than that, you know, at work, work is work. everybody knows I don't like my job. Let me stop. I love my job.
Yeah, you ain't got to hold nothing back. If they listen, the truth is the truth. She ain't got to like it, but she gets her job done.
It's funny is I love my job. I love the job that I do. I love interacting with my colleagues. But if it was in a different setting, if it was in a way that I felt that I was appreciated by the powers that be, I would be a little bit more happier. But
man, listen, you know what my principal said about that? Do they pay you?
Well, they don't pay me what the job is worth.
I ain't asked you that. Do they pay you?
They don't pay what the job is worth.
I ain't asked you that. Do they pay you?
When you're doing the job of three people and getting paid less than what you should for one, it's questionable.
Just listen. You know, if they're paying you, they're appreciating you because they ain't got to pay you and these people not working. Your appreciation comes from those that love you, those that care about you, and work is not where you have to worry about being appreciated. Now, if they're disrespecting you, they can't
leave. They have to pay me. It doesn't have to do with
that's the only appreciation you got to get. Listen, as long as they're not disrespecting you, as long as they're not having you work in conditions that is putting your risk or the baby at health or our relationship in jeopardy, appreciation comes internally and from those that care about you. As long as they pay you what they're supposed to pay you, meaning what they agreed to. Now, it doesn't mean you have to like it. That's what becomes the motivation to do better. So if you don't like it, then you do what you're supposed to. I think too often people get caught up with, I'm not appreciated. You know what? They don't have to appreciate you. They have to pay you. The appreciation comes from what you do. Now, if you accepted the offer, it's different. Ain't nobody forcing them on you. If you accepted the offer, then it is what it is because you can always leave. And most people don't. They complain, but they still punch their clock.
Well, you and I both know that I'm working on leaving. So.
I know that.
And it's no secret on the job that I'm working on leaving.
Exactly. After the baby.
Yeah, after the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough about work. How was your week?
Well, I just talked about my week, so I'm not going to go back over there. So go right to the news. It's like 8:20. So let's talk about the news, which we can go right into the break. So let's talk about the news. There's a few things floating around the news with the bikers and everything else, but what's going on with the news?
The one thing I wanted to talk about is the young man who is still missing, and as of tomorrow,
give him the background.
It will make a full week. He's actually a 13-year-old autistic little boy here in New York, and he was in Queens, actually, where KL and I used to live, and his last moments were on a camera in his school where you could see him, you know, running in the hall and then leaving the school grounds. And this was last Friday, and no one has seen him since, and they're still looking for him. The sad part about it is, again, he is autistic. He's nonverbal, and he's not able to talk. He's not able to communicate. And who knows where he is at this point. It's really sad to me that he was able to walk out of his school with no one attending. And he's not, you know, a regular education student. He's an autistic student. So I'm wondering, where were the people who were supposed to be monitoring him to prevent him from going outside the school? It's really sad. His mom was on TV. She was giving an interview. And she really helped hold herself together. But I just can't even imagine, you know, my 13-year-old disappearing and, you know, because people were lax at their job and not doing what they were supposed to do to secure him. So I'm praying that
you don't know if they were lax and there's not cameras everywhere, and just because he's autistic doesn't mean that he couldn't figure out how to remove himself without being seen. I mean, we don't know what level of autism he has, so we can't criticize the school without knowing everything completely. Now, obviously something broke down that this young man who cannot speak was able to leave unattended. But I can tell you, you know, things happen in the school that not every exit can be covered because you don't know what was going on at the time. Maybe school safety, maybe whoever was supposed to be monitored was dealing with another kid who was having an outbreak or a fit. You don't know. And so you don't know if that's what triggered him to run off. And so if you got multiple kids who might be dealing with situations that happen, and having worked with autistic kids, I realized that sometimes one kid can trigger other kids. You can be dealing with a whole lot, and the kids slip away. Either way, I just hope that they find this young man, because being unable to speak in this city, you don't want to fear the worst, but, you know, a part of you just shakes your head because you worry. You know, this kid is out there by himself or whatever. You just,
hope
they bring him home. Yeah,
you
I
hope
guess.
Somebody haven't hurt him or took advantage of him, not realizing what his state is. You just, under normal circumstances,
at that age, you start looking for help, and once people see victim written on your face, they tend to take advantage of it. So my prayers are with them. I just hope they bring that child home. You know, that is, when you think about it, part of you, I don't care how hard you think you are, you start thinking about a child lost. That's rough. In a whole week, that's, man, just bring this child home, man. So everybody, please join in and pray to whatever God you pray to, that this child come home. Because it ain't about what faith you pray to. It's just whatever you do, ask that significant whoever to bring this child home, because no mother should have to go through that. None.
Right.
So what else going on? She always bum us out on Thursday, but go ahead. You always get bummed out when you give the news, but go ahead.
So, of course, last week we talked about the situation where a biker group and an SUV driver clashed, and unfortunately one of the bikers was tragically injured, where he will probably never walk again. And as things progress and the investigation continues, we start to learn more and more and more about who was a part of the biker gang. So,
hold on one second. Let me stop you right there. I'm going to tell you why I'm stopping you. Let's not say that it's a biker gang, because all the bikers were not together. They were in the same place, but they all met up on the road. Now, that doesn't excuse their behavior, but some of them were there. They didn't know what the other guys were going to do. And I know you're about to say birds of a feather. I know you shouldn't do whatever, but you can't call them a gang. It wasn't orchestrated like that. You know, a couple of guys lose their heads, and you happen to be at the scene, and now they're tossing you in because you were riding a motorcycle. They don't know how many guys was actually involved. So it keeps changing, where it sounded worse and worse each time, but I don't know. I just hate the way that sounds, because it sounds like the way the news is categorizing them.
Well, okay. I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't excuse the 6 or 7 police officers that were riding with the bikers who committed these crimes, and the few police officers that participated in the committing of the crime.
Well, that I agree. So, if you're a cop and let it rock, then you got to catch whatever you're going to catch. Other than the undercover. I rock with the undercover. I wouldn't have blown my cover.
Right. The undercover, I understand. But
he
there were also the other police officers that were there, they actually have them on video also assaulting the driver. The police officer.
That's what I'm saying. He was involved too. Yeah, the police officer.
So that, I have a problem with that. That as a police officer, you should have stopped what was happening, because it was your duty to protect everyone involved, the bikers and the SUV driver. But for you to participate in the beatdown, I mean, we already have very little respect for our police force as it is.
Now you make people live in hatred first. Yeah, that's true. Can't respect them. And then when you find out that there was more than one, you find out it was 3, 4, 5 cops, and that they actually let this rock to where this man was beaten in front of his wife and child. It's like, okay, at some point, damn the case. What about the wife and child? What about the trauma to this child? What about the trauma to this wife? The trauma to the man that's beat? He could have gotten murdered. And those cops would allow that to happen. I mean, you're peace officers first, which means your job is to protect the peace. Even if that man was 100% wrong, you protect him and let him serve his day in court, which is your job. But to actually be involved with the intimidation, and then eventually, in some cases, the attempt at the assault, come on, man. give that badge up. Might as well just be somebody's girlfriend now. Just go ahead and sell her and roll for yours. That's it.
Like I said, the only one that I can probably say, you know what, I understand what the situation he was in, is the one that was undercover, because he had been undercover for a long time, and from what I understand, investigating sales of drugs and all type of, you know, felonies being committed. So I can understand he didn't want to blow his cover. But it also took him 4 days to tell his supervisor that he was even there, which I think he should have immediately said. He should have immediately said, okay, this is what happened. It shouldn't have taken him 4 days to go to his supervisor and say, you know, I was a part of that, or I was there, or I witnessed it.
Yeah, you get what your 24 hours, I think it is. Was it 24 hours? And then, well, I know that's when they commit a crime. Well, no, I don't know. When they commit a crime, I don't know how that works. I know they get like 24 hours before they have to say something to police or something, because I know it's always like a day or something like that. Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought a second, because it's 8:30, and we want to take our end of the half hour break. You're listening to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace Radio. I am KL Belvin. That is my lovely and expecting wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We are on every Thursday from 8 to 10, and we are going to take a break. It is now 8:31, I guess, on my watch. It is 8:31. We're going to take a two-song break, and then we're going to continue listening to the news, and then we're going to get into the topic at hand. Something to have to do with, what is it, ethics? Or, no, not ethics. What is it?
Etiquette.
What is it? Etiquette. Oh, yeah, yeah. Who should do what, and who's the person telling you what you should do? Be prepared for this BS. Anyway, we'll talk about etiquette and who etiquette is. I don't even know who etiquette is. But anyway, we're going to talk about it more on Reality Relationships. We'll be back in two songs.
Keep it strictly physical, all in love. Excuse me, is your name Deidre?
Yes, it is.
Nice to meet you, Deidre. I'm Queen. King woman?
His woman? Well, I'm his wife.
His wife? Really? I guess he played us both.
Dang, like a fiddle.
Oh my God, I just cannot believe this. Let me tell you about me and how I got caught up, okay?
He was with me every night for the last 4 weeks. Didn't you notice he was distant, or couldn't you see? Not to mention, we made love every night. Thought I was the only woman in his life.
Now listen, y'all saying, I'm trying to be cool. I want to make something clear, I was never his fool. Didn't you notice he never spent the night? And regardless of you, he came home to his wife.
He played a role.
Gave me a flashback to my before Gigolo to Jesus days. Wow. Chicks talking about I can't let him go after you got cheated on. See, that's what cheaters rely on. That you won't walk away even after he did you dirty. Wow. Almost kind of was digging that for a minute. Anyway,
you was digging
back.
You were digging us?
I was digging the song, not everything that they were saying. I just thought it was cute. Anyway, stop analyzing what I'm saying. Anyway, welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I'm KL Bell, but I think I might have to clean the couch off. I might be sleeping on the couch tonight. That lovely and questioning voice in the background is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton, Ike Turner Belvin. And we are so happy that you tuned in. And so, before we go any further, we were talking about the bikers and the police officers, and you know, it's sad, but I think some of them are facing jail time, and
yes.
I think the city is going to want to make an example, especially in an election year. You don't ever want to commit crimes in an election year, because they will definitely want to make examples of you. And so it's sad, but you know what? When you don't do the job you're supposed to, hey, it is what it is. What else you got going on in the news, darling?
That was all the news for me, you know.
I want to say one thing I seen in the morning, because I know you and I look at the news, Channel 11 News. We're not giving them a shout out. They don't give us no money, but we'll just mention that we listen to them. I noticed that there is a ridiculous amount of just homicides and just death. And I am so tired. I am so tired. But it really makes you wonder what's going on in the world right now, because there's some real serious things going on. And folks, we got to get back to something better, man. I mean, there, people always die. Let's keep it real. But it just seems like there's an extraordinary amount of people just killing each other. And I don't know if it's just poor times or bad times. I know that has something to do with it. And I'm not going to get biblical, because, you know, it is whatever you believe in. If it's those days, it is what it is. But other thing, too, I want to say is the extraordinary amount of people who are developing cancer. We may do a show on it in the future, but it seems like so many people that I know, that other folks know, and that everyone I talk to is talking about someone either fighting with it, dying from it, that cancer seems to be running rampant in African-American and Caribbean-American households. But then I did a little bit of research, and I noticed that it's across the board. People seem to be developing cancer at such an alarming rate. And I honestly believe it has to do with the way food is being treated, eradicated, whatever you want to call it, whether it's microwave, whether it's processed, whatever it is. I believe that the process that's going into the foods is killing us, because I just don't remember our parents and grandparents developing so many cancer-like situations that now it's just happening every day. Every day you talk to somebody, you know, you done heard about this person developing cancer or expiring from cancer. And I just heard recently a friend of ours, a very good friend of ours, and our prayers are with her that she's going to be checked out to make sure that she doesn't have cancer. My mother is going to get checked out to make sure that she doesn't have cancer. And it's just crazy the number of people who seem to be exposed to things that's causing their cells to grow uncontrollably. And if you didn't know, that's what cancer is, the uncontrollable growth of a cell, and the hope is that it doesn't spread to other parts of the body. So my prayers are with everyone, man. It's just some real difficult times. And yes, I said my mother is going to get checked out to make sure that she's not dealing with something super negative. But we're not claiming that. We're going to claim good health on her and let the Lord take it from there. So we're not even going to go into that tonight's show. So, darling.
Yes, love.
I'm going to turn this over to you, because you brought up this BS topic last week.
You know, you guys, and this
okay,
is maybe
a negative
general thing.
What is
you
etiquette,
you seem to think the etiquette is a nonsense topic, but you know, growing up, we've always hear, oh, she don't have no manners, oh, he don't have no manners.
Okay.
We really don't hear that anymore, because it's like a free-for-all. People are just doing whatever they want to, like they were raised in caves, and we really, really need to get back to social etiquette and a proper way of doing things.
Well, what is social? So social etiquette is just manners, or is it something more than that? Well, you know, brothers, help brothers out.
Okay. So you asked me, what is etiquette? And etiquette is basically a code of behavior that describes expectations of social settings. So
who decides that code?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I looked it up. You know, I do my research to find out where did this begin. And actually, a lot of times when people speak of etiquette, they always quote Emily Post. And I used to hear, the person that called in last week mentioned Emily
Post. Debbie, I think it was Debbie.
Right, Debbie. So, I was thinking, okay, who in the world is Emily Pope? Because I always hear people quote her when it comes to etiquette. And actually, she was basically the mother of writing these basic rules to how you should engage in almost every situation.
Was she white or black? And I'm going to ask you why I'm asking in a minute.
She was Caucasian, yes.
The reason why I ask is because we know that there are cultural differences, and we know that there are racial differences. And so anytime I hear etiquette, I get a little, because things that some cultures and some races do, others don't. So who's to say one is right or one is wrong? That's why I have such an issue with etiquette is, who are you to tell me what's right for you if it works for me and I'm not being offensive to you other than I don't do it the way you do it?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because Emily Pope was born back in the 1800s. And
yeah, it's slaves then, right?
It wasn't the early 1800s. It was actually the later 1800s after the slaves were free. I don't have the actual number, but it's actually after the slaves were free. But the reason why I said it's interesting that you mentioned different cultures, because you're absolutely right. However, Emily's family, the generations that came after her, they have continued the Emily Pope institution. And they actually take into account the different cultures. Because you're right, coming from different cultures, something you may do, I may find offensive that you would find normal in your culture. And it's funny because I always say, you shouldn't say that, Tiffany. When somebody does something crazy.
Hold that thought. Because, see, I knew you was going to trigger women calling in. Lord help me tonight. Because I told Tim, ain't nobody caring about this subject. She said, why? Somebody going to call in. I done already been proved wrong. Do we have Tabitha on the line? Tabitha, are you there, love?
Hey, Tabitha.
Hey, how are you? Hey.
What's
how's it
up,
going,
love?
My favorite Proverbs 31 couple.
Hey, thank you.
No, you're more than welcome, and I truly mean that from my heart. Well, my comment is, first of all, soon as Tiffany did mention etiquette, and you're trying to say that's not the case, yes, you are wrong. Etiquette is still mandatory and necessary.
Yes, I
knew the women were going back.
Yeah, no, because part now, I will agree with you, Cam. Yes, there are. You're funny.
Thank you, DJ.
There are different when it comes down to culture, but there are certain things that are common in all cultures, and that's common courtesy.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, courtesy is across the board. There's certain things.
Hold on one second. I'm going to let you finish, but hold on one second, because I want to ask that question. When you say common courtesy, now, see, that's something that's interesting to me, because that's where we start to talk about culturally. Because in certain cultures, what's common courtesy can seem disrespectful in other cultures. So where do we draw that line, or do we just have to understand what part of the world we're in, and that's it?
Well, that is where communication and being open to communication is key.
Gotcha. I can respect that.
And something that you said, it's like coming from different cultures. I'm like, it's like this, when someone, say from the United States, go to Europe or Africa or somewhere, you have to keep an open mind that you're being exposed to different cultures. And then vice versa, when they come over here, yes, we are the land of the free, but however, there are certain things that we have as the United States, we have our own culture. And there's certain things that, you know, is communication, it has to be key, and an understanding. But there is something I wanted to touch on as well that you mentioned earlier about cancer. I agree that there's certain things when it comes down to the way food is processed, and some, you know, a lot of times we cannot, you know, we can go to the supermarket, try to buy the best fruits and vegetables and so forth, but even then, depending on how they're, how I guess it's being treated or processed, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or the pesticides that are used. That's why, I mean, for me, from a spiritual aspect, it's like you pray over your food, for one.
Mm-hmm.
But for two, it's like, my, you know, there's an old adage, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Gotcha.
It's like, if you can, go to the doctor, and then you're guilty of this. Yes, I'm talking to the male persuasion. You do not want to go to the doctor, even if you are sick. I mean, it's like you have to be on a stretcher to go. But, I mean, if you when it comes down to, like, prostate cancer, if you get an annual physical, certain things can be detected. And, you know, have the prostate check, things of that nature. So women, you know, they're talking about 40 and above. You know, you get that annual mammogram. And just some other things that are to, you know, they just go ahead and have an annual physical. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, even you can get something like that at a free clinic in case you don't have insurance. You can get something like that taken care of.
There's things you can do, and I think a lot of folks are, but I think the thing that is jumping out at me, that is striking me as strange, is the number of people who I know are doing positive things. Now, no one knows what everyone does. Everyone does what they do. But I mean, folks who are not smoking, not drinking, not living lifestyles that you think would expose them to things that are cancerous, and developing cancer. And it's not just breast cancer, it's liver cancer, it's stomach cancer. It's cancer in different parts of the body that you're not used to hearing. We've had many a woman find out about breast cancer, which started the whole make sure you get checked early, making sure you have all the necessary. But we're not just seeing prostate cancer for men. You're seeing an increase mm-hmm. of testicular cancer. You're seeing an increase of stomach and liver cancer for men that don't drink heavily, that drink socially. We're seeing cancer of different parts of the body. We're seeing cancer in eyes. And parts of the bodies that are not the normal places to get it, which makes me wonder, what's the thing that's tying all this together? And for me, the only thing that I can seem to think of is the food, because it cuts across culture, it cuts across
right.
financial ability, it cuts across mm-hmm. educational status. So to me, the one thing that we all seem to have in common is either the air, the water, the food. So
right.
I don't know.
Right. Well, so, no, I mean, that's valid. You know, that is valid. I'm just saying, you know, too common that the two areas where, you know, people get checked is like it's a breast cancer
mm-hmm.
as well as the prostate. But also it's interesting that you would say that, because men have started developing breast cancer.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes,
wow. And
that,
that was interesting. And,
yes,
and,
right.
And it's interesting also that when it comes down to cancer, my grandmother, and this was years ago, this was back in the late 80s going into early 90s, she had died of colon cancer. Now, our family, we didn't have a history of cancer. When she first got it, when she first diagnosed, everybody, I mean, we said that, you know, aunts, uncles, great aunts, uncles, everybody got tested. And it was interesting that she was the only one. And
mm-hmm.
so we was trying to figure out what was going on. But I agree with you, it's like an increase. And we're like, okay, Lord, I'm like, Lord, help us. What is it that we have to do? You know, what is it that needs to be done? And I agree, because it's like you have to look at the environment. You have to look at the, you know, when you say air, you're talking about the environment, you're talking
mm-hmm.
about the food and the water. So I'm like, okay, Lord, but we do have to eat. I'm not saying gluttony, but we do have to eat.
That's true.
And now, unless we have an area where we can grow our own vegetables or whatever the case may be, but some of us can't do that because we, you know, the nature of our jobs, whatever, we have to eat. So I'm like, okay, Lord, we do the best we can and just pray and, you know, give God something to work with.
I think you just said something there when you say grow our own or do some of these. I think we have to start to look at stores that are selling products with no chemicals. We have to start looking at, even if we have to pay a little bit extra, we might have to start looking at organic foods, organic meats, organic vegetables. I noticed that all of a sudden you see people with the one that you were probably with the bread, baby. Was it when you can't eat certain cereals and certain breads? What's it?
Gluten.
All of a sudden, I noticed that people are having gluten disorders when they didn't have those before, and it made me start wondering, like. When did, you know, and these are things that you didn't hear, and maybe people didn't talk about or didn't go and get checked out, so we didn't know. But it is a concern for me because, you know, it's to see so many people that you love that are all of a sudden not here. And then the types of cancers that they're developing are cancers that are ripping through their bodies quickly. It's not,
right.
It's not okay, they fought it, they put on a good, like you've heard people, I fought cancer for 2 years and beat it. I'm seeing cancers a person finds out on like September 1st and they're gone by December 1st. You know, it's something that, and I know with my grandmother being the case, when my grandmother found, up until my grandmother found out that it was cancer, her spirits was strong. And let me tell you something, no one loved the Lord more than that woman. But even she took a punch, let me tell you, she took a punch in the chin because she couldn't believe that it was liver cancer. She even said, she looked at me and said, cancer? Because she hadn't smoked in 40 years, and she definitely didn't drink. And so the wind kind of went out of her sails because a part of her kind of was like, wow, Lord, like, I'm only 78 years old. But, you know, and you want to tell somebody, listen, you know, God's will is what it is, because we know that to be the case. But when you see a woman of such strong faith trying to figure it out and not have any answers, and then you don't have answers to offer back, well, then, yes, prayer is the only thing that's left that you can give, which is what we did. But then it was, I mean, so quickly. It went, like, a month and a half later, here we are now playing our funeral. And so, and I noticed that other folks have said the same thing. A friend of mine, I went to his father's funeral, and his father was in the same hospital with my grandmother. And when he got sick, he fought, but really only for a couple of months, and then was gone. A type of cancer, and I didn't even actually ask what type. I think it was liver or even lung, but it was just, even Tiff's mother. But Tiff's mother was understandable because she smoked, so, you know, the two were connected. But it just seemed like so many people have said they've lost someone dear to them in the last couple of years over something that, and no one seems to have answers.
Oh wow!
I don't get it.
Mhm. Well, I'm with you on that one. I wish I honestly
wish that we could start growing our own food, because I remember my great grandmother. She was in her mid 80s when she passed away, but she was healthy as an ox. And it was funny because she had her own garden in the backyard. She grew her own vegetables, and she would put them on the table and cook with them and everything. I wish that we could go back to just having and growing our own food.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is the stuff that's in the food, because that seems like the common denominator is the food, the water, or the air. It has
something.
To be something.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, off that these shower subjects, how have you been, darling?
You know, I've been well, and I thank you for asking that. I am loving this show, but no, I have been well, just pressing and just taking care of a couple of projects. And, you know, as from one fellow author to another, you know how that is. So making sure you're meeting deadlines and got the publishing program, the projects and so forth. So really looking forward to the closeout of this year and just to be catapulted into the new year. So
Yes. As I said to you earlier on Facebook, it's going to be a big year for all of us in the kingdom, because we're going to try to do some kingdom building, and we're going to start working heavily with folks in the kingdom, because I think that's the one thing that a lot of folks who are walking the Christian way of life forget, that you're supposed to search out your brothers and sisters to do business with them, because the Lord has provided them with things that we can all use, and vice versa. And we don't have to go outside of that circle. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have showed us that for years, and we've never paid attention, is that if you actually look to do your business inwardly with folks who walk and talk and praise the way that you praise and live the way that you live, there's a bonding that happens, as well as there's a building that happens. And many in the body of Christ have forgotten that. And so I'm looking forward to a strong end of this year and a very strong 2014 with the people that the Lord has moved into our path. And you are already there. So you and I are just going to go forward, because, you know, it seems like the Lord has blessed us with a lot of things that we've been able to remove from our lives. And now it's time to go forward and make some things happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, you this is another topic that I know that you're probably going to have on the show, when you're talking about how our Jewish brothers and sisters are able to come together, but they understand one another's culture. A lot of times, you know, and it's just tying in, when you talk about culturally, a lot of times we need to understand kingdom culture. because that's a culture in and of itself. So it's from a spiritual aspect, and so that is very true. And I will say this, not only is just a spiritual culture, but it's also spiritual etiquette as well, because you know, I leave that to the church.
I was trying to
talk about the etiquette in the culture, okay?
Tabitha is a true female. She had to help her sister out. I was trying so hard to get away from the etiquette thing, and she got me. But yes, there is an etiquette to that, and there is an etiquette to, because even the Lord tells you there's a way to do things. He even tells you there's a way to pray. And all of a sudden, we've kind of gotten away from that. So I do know that there are certain things that have etiquette to it, but I know Tiff is going to go into that further. Well, darling, I want to say thank you for joining us. I hope that this will not be your last time. Spread the news. We're on every Thursday from 8 to 10, same station at the same phone number if they want to listen in for their phone, as well as you can check out the conversation going on in the background at GQ Palace General Question. This is what we do every Thursday night. God willing.
Oh, sweet. Well, thank you for having me, and God bless.
Thank you, Tabitha.
We'll talk soon, sister.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye, Tiffany. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Let me tell you something. That's an incredible lady, ladies and gentlemen. That is Tabitha. I want to say her name right. I always say Vincent. Did I say it right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I want to say it right. Tabitha Vincent. And let me tell you something. She is a tremendous sister. She is someone that I can go to for advice and have gone to for advice. So if you're on Facebook, look her up. But don't show up with no foolishness, because she will cut you to the quick. She is a woman of God. She is a woman of God, but she ain't playing no games. Don't show up with no mess. And legally, she definitely has her legal mind, her legal cap on, and she will definitely give you advice, but she is a professional. And I say that because she is not just going to give you free advice. She will help you, but you do also have to remember that she's a professional, and her service and her time requires money. I think too often we forget that professionals have to eat too. And so, yes, you may get one or two freebies, but don't expect the whole thing to be done for free. But definitely check her out if you have any legal information, as well as she's working on a lot of big things coming up. And we may be working on a few projects going forward in the future. We're actually working on putting that together. We had a little conversation today, and we're going to pray about it and see where the Lord takes us. So, should be interesting. So, darling, you have some etiquette conversation, but we're going to get into what you say about etiquette. You were talking about etiquette. We're going to take a quick break. It's after 9 o'clock, and when we come back, it is your show to do what you want about etiquette, and I will try. See the positive.
Okay.
This is Reality of Relationships every Thursday night. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin, and when we return, Tiffany is going to try to convince you, just like she's going to try to convince me, that etiquette is still important. I think people don't care at all. But as she got some support earlier from Sister Tabitha Vincent, we're going to see how you feel about it when we return.
There'll be no remnants, no trace, no retention. No fear within you. Then you won't remember, man. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always tell you, I hope you feel the same. Oh, when my affliction had to fill out my prescription, found the way I'm a thief. I had to set you free.
I had to let you.
But it is KL Belvin, and my lovely wife is around here somewhere trying to find etiquette stuff anyway.
No,
that is
I'm
Tiffany
here.
Braxton Belvin. Take it away, honey. Go ahead and tell them about etiquette. I'm going to just hang back and boo. Boo. Boo.
Why are you going to boo? You know, I don't understand. You know what? It's
no,
funny. I really think it's a man thing. Because I remember. What?
It might be.
It has to be, because I remember, it was so funny, I was in the city one day, and I was walking into a store, and as I was walking in, two ladies were coming out. So, of course, I opened the door, and I held the door open for them to walk out of the store. Before they could walk out, two men walked past me holding the door and walked past the ladies coming out. They were so rude. And it was so funny because one of the women said, you know what, you're more of a gentleman than the two just walked past us. Let me hold the door for you.
Wow.
It's just a matter of courtesy. And to me, that's etiquette. If you would say if somebody comes to the door and you're walking into the store, you open the door, you don't walk into the store before the people come out. You allow the people to come out, and then you walk in. It's just common courtesy.
Yeah. I would agree.
You would agree.
I would agree. I mean, I think, like, I joke and laugh, but I believe that there are common courtesies that are connected to what people would call etiquette. Like I said, I think my biggest issue with etiquette is that people tend to be very hard line with certain things. And I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, dinner and, you know, social things, social environments, and just like when I hear you have to wear certain clothes, and I have an issue with that. I don't want anybody telling me what to do, but you know, I am non-compliant half the time. I'm a rebel anyway.
Yeah. But you know, it's also a matter of understanding flexibility. There is flexibility and stuff. Yes, there are some people that, you know, depending on what social circles you're in, they're extreme. They're extreme to everything, not just etiquette. But there's also flexibility in those areas. But say, for example, like you said, you don't want someone to tell you how to dress. Well, if I'm having a particular engagement and I am putting the cost for this engagement and I would like to see it look a certain way, I might say black tie, casual, hobo chic. It's up to the person that's hosting the event. You know, you have people that want an all-white party. Okay, I'll show up at an all-white party. But you always have that one person that goes to an all-white party and have on black.
Me.
Just because they don't want to wear all-white. Just because they want to be different.
No, just because I don't play wearing all-white. I don't feel I look good in all-white, and I won't
but
come.
Then
and
don't
then I
come.
Got it. But then I hear if you don't come, people get offended by that.
But I think you would be more offensive coming to someone's all-white party in black than not showing up at all because you don't want to wear all white.
Yeah, I understand, but then why criticize somebody when they don't show up?
I don't care what you want for your party.
Yeah, but then why criticize somebody if they don't show up?
Listen, if you don't show up, you don't show up. But to show up and to figure I'm going to dress or do what I want to do because that's how I
want
to do it.
And wear what I want.
That's the problem.
Wear what I want.
Well, that's the problem. And, you know, it's funny because the reason why I think we should have social definitely rules of etiquette because, like I said, people are taking it to a whole nother level of I'm doing me. And I think etiquette is the difference between civility and savagery.
What?
And
really?
Yeah, I honestly believe it. Why?
I mean, is that extreme though, baby?
It can be.
Okay. I'm listening.
I made a joke one day on Facebook, and I said, in New York, it's a suggestion to stand in line and wait your turn. I don't understand how people can see a line of people standing
and just walk to the front as if you haven't been waiting.
You see where I'm coming from.
I rock with you there, yes. I agree with you there because I be wanting to bust him in the head. You ain't seen us standing here.
And this happens a lot, whether you're standing in line waiting for the bus or you're standing in line at the checkout counter.
You're right.
It's 20 people in line. You can't tell me you didn't see these 20 people standing here when you walked up. They're in an orderly line.
I want that seat.
That's the problem. We have went from a society of trying to do the right thing to I'm just doing me. And that's where etiquette falls into place to say, you know what? These are the rules of courtesy to your fellow man. It's like no one is showing the other person courtesy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. And, you know, it make you bring out a side of you that you really don't want to bring to the forefront. But it's almost like you're going to make me punch you in the face because I'm sitting out here, feet hurting, and I had a hard day at work. And y'all just going to, and then because the dude in front of me is soft, all y'all just going to take the seats. Nah,
basically,
man. I'm throwing bows. I'm a big dude. I'm throwing bows and shoulder. What? How you want to do it? Yeah.
And it's
now, I see it, especially with our kids, though. I see it, and you can tell that there is no manner. And I talked about earlier at the beginning of the show that there's certain things that's just not being taught to our kids. And the way our kids speak to adults, I'm like, okay, now, here's where I do agree that etiquette is needed because some kids got to be taught you got to stay in the child's place.
Yeah.
Don't think you can't get kicked in your chest because you're 14. Some people will go to jail for that. 'Cause it's just ridiculous.
Also, I want to mention something that Tabitha touched on as far as cultural differences. It also, that's where flexibility comes in, where we have to extend ourselves beyond our own little circle. And I make a habit because I go into different circles, different ethnic backgrounds, nationalities. I've been around a lot of different people, whether it's financial status or whatever the circumstances are. But if I know that I'm going into an environment where I'm not familiar with the culture, then I will read up on that culture. There's no, to me, at this point in age, in the advancement of technology and the access to everything in the world just by Googling it, there's no reason to me why you don't go into a setting having some type of idea of what you're in for. You can't learn a whole culture within a day. But I'll give you an example because I was invited to a Jewish wedding celebration. And there are certain aspects of the Jewish culture that are expected of the Jewish women. Now, you may think, oh, I'm African-American, I'm not Jewish, I'll do what I want. But it's also a matter of respect. So, no, I wouldn't show up to a Jewish wedding and my shoulders are showing. Because in the Jewish culture, the women don't show their shoulders. They actually wear longer sleeves. They don't wear completely long sleeves. But they do cover up somewhat. They don't wear dresses above their knees. So if I was attending this wedding, I would know there's a certain way that I need to dress. I can't show cleavage. You know, it's just certain things that you have to expand your mind and your thinking and realize that, yes, there are cultural differences.
I agree and disagree. What? Because
why?
If you're not part of the culture, some cultures get offended that you're not that. And attempting to be that. I don't want somebody there faking it. Just be who you are. If I invited you,
it's
I invited you because of who you are. I didn't invite you because I wanted you to act like the people that I am. Just be who you are.
It's not a matter of faking it or trying to be like that culture. It's respecting their culture and understanding of what their customs are.
Right,
so... the idea is, and you know what's funny, because I've been in a lot of different ethnic situations, I have never encountered someone say, oh, you're trying to be with us, like us. I have been
I have traveled a lot more than you, and actually have been to these countries and have seen the disdain when the locals see folks trying to emulate and they don't take it that way. That's what I meant by the way cultures, like when we were in the Bahamas, it was not the coolest thing when we was mixing with the locals. It was like, yo, y'all Americans. Like, nah. And it was like, okay, let's get back to the resort. It was a very negative feeling. And even the second time we were in the Bahamas, the night we got poisoned, you know, you could tell that there was a feeling. I've been around other cultures that I don't know if it's the American thing or American black thing, but I'm just saying is that there are lines that you have to be very careful when trying to assimilate into what their culture is doing at that moment because you were invited, that you're not crossing lines where some folks believe that you're making a mockery of who or what they are.
That also comes with the understanding of the company that you're with also. Because if I'm going into a circumstance that I'm not familiar with, like I said, I'll read up about it. Or I'll even ask the host that is inviting me, how should I dress? How should I do this? Because I'll give you an example. I know that when you go into an Asian person's home, you're supposed to take off your shoes. It's a matter of
respect. What have your feet think?
You know what?
Okay, I'm asking a real question. What have your feet think?
Listen, if your feet stink, then you need to wash them better.
Okay, I wash my feet, but now they want to invite me to the crib, and I said, I don't want to offend them and say I don't want to come back if my feet stink. But it's been a hard day, and and if they say no, don't worry about it, take it off, but you know. What you about to unleash in their crib or their whatever, you know, then what? So you laughing, but I'm being very real with mine right now. See, you laughing. See, I ain't messing with you. See, these are the questions that people are scared to ask. So now your feet hanging, and everybody's like, what's that? Now, I'll give you a perfect example. I went to my sister's house, and my sister has a brand new rug. Nice, it's gorgeous. I get to the door, I see all these shoes in the foyer, smell like corn chips. And she was like, you gotta take your shoes off. I was like, baby, you don't want me to take my shoes off, because I've been walking around those socks on all day. If I take my shoes off in here, it's gonna be rough. So what's funny is my mom, my sister, all was like, you know what, leave the shoes on. I was like, cool. I said, I won't walk back and forth across the rug. I went to the bathroom, and then I came back out, and I was standing up for you. Because I said, I'm going to be honest with y'all. If I unleash these puppies, I pull these bad boys out. It's going to be rough up in here. Y'all don't really want that.
You know, it's funny. I personally don't mind taking my shoes off if that's what somebody requires going into their house. But
and if you
as
have
a
ugly
whole,
feet, they shouldn't take their shoes off, too. If your feet are ugly, don't nobody want to see that either. Ain't nobody time for that.
Hell, be serious. What? Be serious.
I'm serious.
What I'm trying to say is, as a host, if I was someone who required people to take their shoes off,
you'd have
as
a manicure,
the house,
manicure right there at the door. Put that rusty toe up here, but you want to leave that to these people. You ain't walk around my house with no corns and bunions. Okay, get that fixed right
what
at the
I
door.
What I was going to say is I would actually have something at the door in order to spray for odor. So if anybody was concerned that their feet smell, then they can spray for odor.
And that if a person doesn't know?
Who doesn't know? Who doesn't know their feet stink?
Listen. Come on, Steph. Steph, stop now.
Honey, I have bad sinuses, and I know when my feet don't smell right.
Stop that. I'm not talking about you, but you know your feet stink. I wasn't trying to go there about that shit.
You know what?
I wasn't even trying to go there and out it yourself.
Cam.
What? Because Steph,
all
you know
I'm saying
you,
is...
You see, I'm trying to change the subject, y'all, because she know. Ain't nobody asked her to pull them shoes off in nobody's house. You're being asked to leave.
You know what? Anyway.
Like you're playing full court.
We're going to get off the feet stinking topic.
All right, go ahead.
Because there are other situations also. And it's funny because someone has brought up when you're inviting people to a party.
Yes.
Or a wedding, for example. If you send an invitation.
The question was the wedding. Question was the wedding if you if they have children or something like that. I think that was a conversation.
Right. And I had a disagreement with someone regarding how do you handle invitations for weddings when it comes to children. Because when KL and I got married, the only children that were allowed to attend our ceremony and our reception were the children in the wedding. And that was okay with our guests. But recently, a friend of ours, she was posting that when it comes to invitations, you should not put on an invitation that the children are not invited, because someone was trying to find out how do you let people know that children are not invited. So I do think it's tacky to put children are not invited, but I suggested that they invite adult reception only so people have an understanding that children should not attend.
But
and
she said that was wrong too, right?
Well, she said that was wrong also because you should never tell anyone that children are not invited or make it seem like it's an adult-only reception. And what she actually said is that for people who will need to bring their children because they were discussing people coming from out of town who would need to bring their children, that the couple should provide babysitting service for the people who would be, you know, to have their children watched. I thought how idiotic that sounds because in our case, we didn't have a large budget for our wedding. And most people who don't want children to come is because you don't have a large budget and inviting children would exponentially increase your budget beyond control because we all know when it comes
who's
to
paying for child care? Come on. Let's keep it real. Folks, if you're listening. Let's keep it real. If you're telling folks no kids allowed, who's going to turn around and say, you know what, now that I think about it, let the kids come, but we're going to supply child care. Now, if you're in that economic bracket, by all means, do you. By all means, say, yes, y'all can have child care, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm sorry, I don't see folks having that type of dough. I don't see folks having that type of money to be able to do that for a wedding.
Well, our type of folks don't have that type of dough to provide child care. Because if
Very
I can
true.
Provide child care, then your child might as well come to the wedding and the reception. And you can
we
watch
took
your own
a
child.
Hit on our wedding. We couldn't even get
we
folks
did.
To just... We couldn't get folks to give up, like, pennies. We had to, like, shake a couple people up when they were leaving. Come on, bro, you want to leave a tip or something, man? Well, food was good, right?
But that's another
thing. I don't
even
want to talk about that, man.
That's another... You know we have to talk about it, honey. Because when it comes to inviting people to the wedding, I have never experienced what I experienced when it came to our wedding. And I've heard of horror stories when it comes to invitations because people... They get so bent out of shape if they don't get an invitation to your wedding. But the entire family, and it was so funny because, of course, I Googled because, again, I do research on the best way to try to handle a situation. When I realized that Kale and I did not have a budget that was going to be able to cover everybody that we wanted to bring to the wedding, I said, you know what? Let me write a family letter explaining what the circumstances are. And unfortunately, we have to cut the guest list. And the reason why is because we don't have the money. But I said it very much more tactful than that. But that was the bottom line. We didn't have the money. No one contacted us to say, you know what, let us help. No one said anything. No one said, you know what, we understand. You know why?
Oh,
because
you know what? I remember that. When we sent the invite out, one of our family members, when we said we invited like two people, because we just tried to give, like, each branch of the family representation at our wedding, that one of our family members wrote in. They were like, yes, these two people will be here, but you must have forgot, and wrote in, like, five other names.
Which is very rude to do. And
wrote in who they
to
wanted to come.
According to etiquette, when you send an invitation, whether it's for a wedding, a party, whatever the circumstances are, and you know that it's budget conscious, you put Mr. and Mrs. Belvin are invited to this occasion. The only people that should be responding is Mr. and Mrs. Belvin. You are not supposed to add in, oh, you forgot Cousin Blue, Cousin Red, Cousin Yellow. You are supposed to accept that you only have two people that can attend this function.
Oh, it's too funny. They wrote in who they wanted to come.
I don't understand. And that's also, again, a part of etiquette. The understanding that they are only able to afford this amount of people. You have an invitation. The invitation is not open to the entire clan. But, you know, it is what it is. But that's little children and wedding invitations. Also, something else that happens that they say is against etiquette, but again, etiquette says practicality rules. When you already have a couple that has established their living circumstances, they already know what they have in their house, they don't need anything more, you'll get an invitation that says monetary gifts preferred. Because they don't want a bunch of stuff that they can't use and don't like and everything else. So they usually let people know, you know what, we'd rather you give us the money. That's the most
painful way. And we'll purchase what we need.
And we'll purchase what we need. Well, according
I ain't
to
giving
etiquette,
her no money. I'll buy what I want.
According to etiquette, you're not supposed to include that in your invitation. It's considered tacky to include monetary gifts preferred. It's also considered tacky to include any type of registry information. So, for example, if you send a baby shower invitation, normally with a baby shower invitation comes the registry where the parents are registered. You're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to come by word of mouth. Now, I think that's extreme because it wastes a whole bunch of time. But the idea is, I find it funny because when I got invited to the Jewish wedding, we asked, what is the protocol for giving gifts for a Jewish wedding? And they said, in the Jewish culture, they don't give physical gifts. They give monetary gifts. It's understood. Everyone gives monetary gifts. Now, if you wanted to bring something extra that you might want to give to the couple to put in their home, that's different. But as far as the actual wedding gift, it's a monetary gift, and they don't include an invitation, monetary gift only. It's just understood, but it's a part of their etiquette.
I got you. You know what, doll? It is 9:35. You know what? We're going to take a one-song break because I'm actually interested in hearing more about this as I'm sitting here
You're
listening.
Really interested after you booed me?
All right, maybe I was lying. But no, it's actually interesting, and we're going to continue more of this. It is Reality and Relationships, and you're learning a little bit about etiquette. So if you got people just busting up in the crib because they invited themselves, that is improper etiquette. They should call before they come over. And no, they shouldn't just set up your barbecue because that's what they like. But anyway, we're going to talk more about etiquette when we come back. This is Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in just one song. So do not go too far. See you in a minute. Welcome back. Oh, R. Kelly. It's the man. always creates a nice song. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships, and we are on the last road to the end of the night. Hope that you have enjoyed what we've laid down tonight. Interesting show. Very interesting. My lovely wife, Tiffany, has brought up the subject of etiquette, and I think for me what's interesting is just understanding what the basics is. I always ask Tiff, what should we do here? Because the social aspect of things, she's tremendously good at. So I'll say, like, I think that the funny thing is the other day I asked her, what is cosmopolitan? What was it? Urban cosmopolitan? Where? It was something dressed urban cosmopolitan. It was, and I said, what was that? She said, I've never heard of that. I was like, really? She's like, I've never heard of that. So people are making up their own dress terms. I think it was urban cosmopolitan or cosmopolitan chic or something like that. I was like, whatever. But whatever that is. But I do ask, what's the proper way to do things? Because I am a caveman. I don't make any bones about it. I am a caveman with a lot of things because let me say this the right way. I don't get into certain particulars when it comes to the etiquette of things because I think a lot of it is just posturing. I think for me, much of it is trying to get people to see things a certain way. Now, I do agree that there are times you have to conform. And I wouldn't wear jeans and a t-shirt to an event, a black tie event, and just stand out just for the sake of standing out. And if I didn't have a black tie, I wouldn't go. But I believe that too often there are things that are kind of in between, and people are so quick to judge what you have on and not actually considering why you're there or who you are or whatever the situation is. So for me, I think a lot of times, or often, let me change that, not a lot of times, I think that often the way etiquette is laid down, it kind of clashes with the way I feel about things. So I kind of lean on the side of the caveman. What do you think, baby?
When it comes to etiquette, you have to think the best way to be courteous to your host, because that's a person who's inviting you into their event, into their home, or whatever the circumstances may be. And you know, I think about this all the time. Kale's right that if he tells me we're going to an event, I'll ask him what is the event, how are we supposed to dress, what type of affair it is. And I'll never forget when we were dating, we were going to an event for one of his family members. And he said, oh, it's a barbecue. And I said, okay, barbecue, you know, you dress casual, have fun, because it's in the backyard. No big deal. I said, well, what type of event is it? Oh, we're just having a barbecue. So we get to the barbecue, and when I tell you, the host set up the most beautiful spread. She had the food catered. There were actually people serving the food.
Which event was that?
This was your cousin's retirement party.
Where's
remember
that?
Remember your cousin, when we went to the house in the backyard with the pool? And Kiara was singing.
Oh, yeah, out in Long Island.
Right.
You could dress any way that you wanted that night, that day.
I'm not speaking of the dress. Of course, it's backyard barbecue. You want to be comfortable.
Okay.
It's not about the dress. The food was set up, the tables and chairs, and a tent was set up in the backyard. They rented one of the mobile commodes so that, you know, people would have actually, they rented two.
You couldn't go in their house. So you can use the bathroom in their house. Smart move. Go to the porta potty.
So they went to an extent to celebrate the retirement of KL's cousin.
Grilled crabs, everything.
Yeah.
That was great.
The food was delicious. We had crab legs, plates of crab legs, seafood. Food was immaculate. They let us use their pool. And they told us ahead of time, bring a swimsuit if you want to swim. Use the pool, just have fun. It's a family event. But I would have liked to know that it was a retirement party so that you could bring a gift. Or, you know, just show that you know how to... Come on now. You should never, to me, if you're going to someone's home, you should never show up empty-handed. I don't care if you buy a six-pack of soda. I don't care if you buy a $5 bouquet of flowers.
We came with something.
We came with our appetites. That's all we came with.
No, because remember we stopped. You made us stop and buy something. I remember we came in with like wine or juice or soda or something. You made me stop and get something because you said, how are we going to go with no gift? And then we went back out. Cause remember we pulled up the block and we went back to the store.
And you know what? Because at the last minute, we were on our way and you said, oh, by the way, it's a retirement party.
He was like, oh, we got to bring something. I was like, okay.
Yes. Yes, of course. Who shows up to a retirement party and just says, you know what? And the host, like, she went to an extent, she spent a good amount of money, of her own money, to celebrate her retirement. The least you could do is show up with a bottle of wine, champagne, or something.
If they don't say bring nothing, I ain't bringing nothing. Caveman Jones is in the house. You say show up, I'm showing up.
You know.
You say help yourself. I'm digging in.
I can't take you anywhere. I can't take you anywhere.
You can take me everywhere. I know how to act.
You have no etiquette.
I have a lot of etiquette. I know how to shut my mouth and do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to go in. I ain't shy now. When the person say help yourself, you know, everybody want to wait and see who's going for the food first. I think y'all sit there and starve. I'm going to get mine. Stop playing. And if they say help yourself, I'm making a nice plate.
Okay, so let me ask you, honey.
Yes.
Because we're talking about etiquette, and also part of, like I said, etiquette is being courteous to your host. We
yes.
all know about CT time.
Oh, actually, people start to plan their events based on they know folks of color are not going to be there on time.
And that's
they
horrible.
Actually, yeah, you already know how I feel about that. I have a problem when Negroes do not show up like they're supposed to. Like you shouldn't have to sit and wait on someone for something that you're planning. Well, you know how I feel about it. Start it without them. What did I tell you? I said I wasn't gonna start.
And that's
start
how I feel too.
Just start without them. Whatever. Okay.
Oh my goodness, I know. I know we have a lot of listeners, and I wish somebody would call in 646-200-3838.
If you're on the phone, just press 1. If you're on the phone, just press 1 to get in.
Yes, just press 1 if you're listening. But I have to say, I was actually a part of planning a baby shower for someone. And we decorated. We got to the venue early that day. We decorated. We were there all day. We went home. We showered. We came back. Of course, the guests started showing up. And the event, I think it was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock rolls around, the person of honor wasn't there. 8 o'clock rolls around, the person wasn't there. 9 o'clock, we're wondering what's going on. 10 o'clock, she still wasn't there. She didn't show up until almost 11 o'clock. For her own baby shower. And the problem is, listen carefully. The problem with her showing up at almost 11 o'clock is it wasn't a surprise. She knew about the baby shower. So if you have an event that's supposed to start at 6 o'clock, how do you show up almost 5 hours later? Or, like, we had at least 100 people there. At least 100. Everybody's sitting there from, you know, because especially older people, you know, our senior citizens, they get there early, 5, 4 o'clock, had not eaten all day. And now we're waiting for her to show up. And it's so funny because what ended up happening is after they served the food, you know how the mother's supposed to open the gifts and everything? Nobody sat around for her to open gifts. It was like, okay, we're going home. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to show up to an event knowing that it starts at a certain time and you just decide to show up late. Now, if there's circumstances, like with us, the other day, Cam and I, a couple weeks ago, Cam and I were going to an event and we left the house in time to get to the event on time, but we wind up going to the wrong address because I looked up the wrong address, unfortunately. So then
yes.
we had to reroute to find the actual location. And then when we got to the location, we couldn't find parking, and we were running considerably late.
It was more than an hour.
Right, it was more than an hour, and we decided, you know what, we're not even going to disgrace you know, the circumstances the way it was, because we already understood that we were running late and we just went home. In that case, I understand. Things happen. But when you show up to an event late just to be late, or just, and I hate to hear this, I don't want to be the first one there, you know what? Come on.
And she understood. Actually, when I sent word, because she asked me, did I come, because it was to a play. When I told her what the circumstances was, she understood and said no problem, because she know that we had promoted the event earlier in the day. We'd explained to everyone that we were on our way. And when you're in Manhattan on the east side on a Saturday evening, and you're now trying to get to the west side in the theater district, that's an hour travel right there. Just trying to get from the east side to the west side on a Saturday evening, early Saturday evening at that. And we were down near the San Gennaro Festival, so it just made it very difficult. It was crazy trying to get across town. And so eventually the play was supposed to start at 7. We were already about 5 minutes to 7 when we were on the east side and realized we were in the wrong place. That it just was like, you know what, at this point, we're going to go ahead and just call it quits. We wound up getting something to eat, but I did let the person know. That's the other part of etiquette that I believe that so many people have a problem with. If you know you didn't live up to the agreement or the arrangement that you made, you should be the first person to initiate contact to let the person know that, you know, you didn't make it, why you didn't make it. Don't let somebody have to either run into you, call you, and say, hey, what's going on, you know, what's up, and you know, you didn't do anything. That's wrong. You know you broke the agreement, the arrangement. Make that call and say, hey, listen, I apologize. If the person doesn't want to accept your apology, that's on them. But you made the offer, and that's what's needed. I think that bothers me more. That's why I said I have no problem with etiquette, because I know that there's a way that certain things have to go, but some things are just tacky, or as folks of color like to say, ghetto. And you can't do it. You can't do it. It makes no sense.
Speaking of ghetto, in any
particular way, yeah.
Speaking of ghetto, because we have to go with CP time. About 4 years ago, I produced a pageant, and it was the preliminary to the Miss Black USA scholarship pageant. And it was my first production, and I think I did very well, if I say so myself.
Yes, you did. You did extremely well.
But basically, I hired a host who was very well known. He's been on television. He's been on... Don't laugh. He's been...
We're not going to mention his name out of respect. We're not going to do it, but we really should. He's been on Comic View. He's been on Def Comedy Jam. He's hosted quite a few shows.
Apollo.
We felt that we were lucky getting him to come.
You know what? I had seen his work before, and I felt because I was doing a family-oriented event that he would work best in keeping the crowd entertained, and he does. He does a very good job at keeping the crowd entertained. What I did not know is some of our celebrities, they let their celebrity go to their head. And sometimes when dealing with us, and when I say us, I mean African Americans, they tend to treat all of us the same. So it didn't dawn on him during the course of a few months prior to the event that the certain type of event I was explaining to him that we were having. I had a public relations person. The event was in the newspapers in Queens and on television and, you know, different things. But it didn't dawn on him the type of event it was. All he saw was another African American in the hood doing an event. And that's personally how I feel he saw it. And that's how he treated it. So with everything, I had a contract that I had everyone sign. I had a contract with everyone, the judges, the contestants, the vendors, including the host. And in the contract, it asked for him to be at this location of the venue at 2 o'clock because the event started at 3. Well, the day of the event, 2 o'clock came and went, and he wasn't here. And it's getting close to the crunch time and everyone's getting set. And I had waited actually to the very last minute to get myself ready because I wanted to make sure everything else was in place. And I was getting my makeup done. So my public relations person and my event coordinator came to me and said, Tiffany, the host hasn't shown up yet. And I said, okay. And I was very calm about it. So 2:30 comes, 2:45, 2:50, and they come to me and they said, Tiffany, he still hasn't shown up yet. I said, okay. And I'm still getting ready, getting my hair and makeup done. And finally, 3 o'clock comes, he still hasn't shown up yet. So the event coordinator comes to me, and they're frantic. Like, all of my staff was frantic. Like, oh, my God, we're not going to have a host for the show. So the event coordinator comes to me as I'm getting dressed, and she says, Tiffany, he's still not here, and it's 3 o'clock, and everyone's seated, everybody's ready. I said, are the contestants ready? Yes. Are the judges ready? Yes. And then I said to them, would you please go tell my husband he's hosting the pageant? And they all looked at me like there was a quiet hush in the room, and they looked at me, and I looked at them, and they realized how calm I was, and the event coordinator said, okay. So she left the room, and she went to tell my husband that he was hosting the pageant. Now, I don't know what happened when she told him, but...
When she came, she explained what the situation was, but I said, okay. I said, has he called and anything like that? She said, no. I said, okay, well, let's go. I mean, I do my best work when thrusted in something without having to think about it, whatever. So I was like, okay, let's go. And I think I had started before, you know.
See, the thing is, that's why I knew that I wasn't panicked, because I said, if worst comes to worst, if he doesn't show up,
I was getting
paid. He wouldn't get paid.
I was going to get paid.
My husband would have done a wonderful job at hosting. It would have been no problem at all. So... when she came back to the room, she said, Tiffany, the comedian's here. I said, is he? And she said, yeah, he just came in. I said, did my husband start speaking yet? And I said, did my husband take the stage yet? And she said, no. I said, okay, you can give the microphone to the comedian. Because I was the type of person, and I still am.
No, it was just the basic, because I went up to, you know, explain that we're going to get ready to get started, and it was just the basic. We hadn't started the show. And so I was like, you know, he's here, let him go, because I really didn't want to do it. I wanted to enjoy the show because I know what went into it. But it was like, all right, cool, no problem. I think the thing that was funny was that he didn't come in with the sense that he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. But then he's got the wife and the kids. And, yeah, everyone was
apologize.
All laid back like, come on, dog, you get
right.
paid for this.
And he showed up to the event. Now, again, this is a pageant for scholarships. He showed up to the event in jeans. He showed up to the event late and brought his two children without even letting anyone know that he was bringing his children, so that, you know, we could at least, we had accommodations for them and we had enough food to feed them. But the courtesy as a professional would have been to say, you know what, can I bring a guest or can I bring my children? And the courtesy would have been to show up on time. Because honestly, I felt that once my husband hit that stage, because when the event coordinator came back to me and said, no, your husband hasn't hit the stage yet, I said, once my husband was on the stage, it was going to continue without the comedian, and the comedian would have had to take me to court in order to get paid. And he wouldn't have gotten paid because the contract said he was supposed to be there at 2 o'clock, not 3 o'clock when the event was starting. And that's how I felt. But, you know, it was what it was, that the event coordinator said, no, he's here and your husband hasn't started. So we allowed him to continue, and he didn't do a good job, and I'll never use him again. And if you to ask me who it was, I'll let you know. So you don't have to do that.
We know she's not. We're going to be professional about that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like to blow him up. No. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has come to the end of another show. My wife is always inboxing. I'm going to tell you what, it's not gossiping. Anyway, but no, we've come to the end of another show. And you know what? Always, we seem to always have fun. We never know how the shows are going to turn out. We do ask one thing. Please share this information with your friends, family, whoever to come and listen to the show the night of. But if they don't, please head over to Making Marriage, www.makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com or www.klbelvin.blogspot.com. We put the shows up there because by listening to the shows, even after Thursday, next week, whenever, GQ Palace Radio gets the hits, and those hits allow GQ Palace Radio to go out and talk to other venues, talk to other markets, which allows them to expand their programming, which then allows every one of the GQ Palace Radio shows, not just ours, to be heard in many other venues, and you'll be doing a wonderful thing, and it costs you nothing, and you'll get to listen to some fantastic shows. So all our past shows are on our Make a Marriage Cool Again blog or on my blog, klbelvin.blogspot.com. Another thing, too, is we have some tremendous things going on at Braven Publishing. Please stop by the Braven Publishing Facebook page or the Braven Publishing website, www.bravenpublishing.com. And we are in the process of really making some strong moves, and I am writing. And I got some stories coming out. I have a book that I'm a part of that is now posted on my page. What is it, The Big Bone? I keep forgetting his name.
It's the series of Big Bone Women.
Big Bone Women, yes. It is a book dedicated to full-figured women. My work happens to be featured in the book. Of course, it is written in about my lovely full-figured wife. And stop by my Facebook page, Arthur K.L. Belvin. You can actually see the picture of the book. And we have a limited copy. So if you want to get one, please just let me know, and we can actually take care of that. Guys, I want to say thank you. And it is a blessing to be in front of you, to listen to us. We appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I know I do. And so I'm going to end it there and just simply say thank you. And I want to say thank you to Rich and Lavina for allowing us to do this each week. And they are the strength and the foundation behind what we do, because their work is incredible behind the scenes as well as the music choices. So thank you so much for allowing Tiff and I to do this, baby. You want to say something to the people?
Well, being that it's 2 after 10 and we have taken up extra time, I'm going to say God bless and good night.
Okay, Russell Simmons. Good night, guys. See you next week.
You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we?
Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go.